You're listening to Around Comics, episode 139.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable. The new roundtable.
The new.
Here we are. I'm Christopher Niesman.
Improved.
And joining me on the roundtable today are Mr. Scotty Young.
I'm so afraid.
Change is good, Scotty.
Why have you put me in the dark? It's so
Shut up! Shut your mouth!
E.T.'s coming to get me! You know, I used to think E.T. was always coming to get me at night.
Every night.
My parents had a party one time, and there was like an old man. I was already in bed, and there was like an old man walking to the bathroom, but he was old, and he walked really, really slow. And so, because I thought it was like the E.T. footsteps, because he was really small, and I could have
hunched over.
And I was like, why is E.T. coming to get me? This is bullshit!
Dude's neck is huge!
Yes. Me!
Mr. Salazar, how are you?
I'm Brian good. Salazar. I'm relaxed, refreshed, ready to rock. Here I am. I don't know.
Pee in his pants, just a little.
I'm just a little nervous
from fright.
I'm a little scared.
He's ready for dinner.
I don't have the tome of show notes in front of me that we are so used to
winging
having.
It.
I don't know. Yeah, we're kind of. But I did, in honor of our new idea for the show, I am freeballing today.
Sweet.
I did go commando.
Oh God!
And I just want everybody to know that
I've been commando for about 7 months since I started New X-Men.
Oh,
I said,
that's
fuck it. Fuck the looms, baby.
Don't need them. No, it just restricts your creativity.
Yeah, it does. It's restricting. I get swalls.
Swalls?
Yeah, sweaty balls.
Yeah. He's like a baseball player now. It's like he's on a good streak.
Yeah, he can't break the, you know.
Yeah, got to keep going. Yeah. I've got a week left.
I understand.
Casey's like, Scotty, naked again.
Week left, and I won't, well, not only will I maintain the free ball, but I won't wear pants either.
Oh, all right.
Fucking sweet.
The new Scotty.
Yeah.
Just a hat and his earrings.
Hat and earrings and maybe a
backpack.
Maybe a baby doll team.
Well, quick note, Tom Caters isn't here tonight. He's actually saving up his chi for
his juices. Juices, yes.
He's basting himself at home in preparation for the 24-hour podcast, which is next week. So, yeah.
And such a soon-to-be disaster.
No, it's going to be fantastic.
So I tell you what, we do have a little bit of business to take care of.
Okay.
Because I need to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
I'm so tired of that word.
We got to get a new spot.
We actually are going to have a new spot,
yes.
And which leads into kind of our next bit of information.
Mm-hmm.
Our next spot for InStock is going to tie in with our Club of the Month Club.
Club of the Month Club?
The still
club
unnamed.
Club of the Month.
Please help us out. Go to the forum. Give us some suggestions.
Yeah, there's a thread on the
email,
forum.
Do it on the forum. Throw in emails.
Yeah.
Well, Scotty, why don't you tell people what the month club is, and you can put your picks.
And I'll give them a little history on what I thought about. As everybody knows, I've been reading Preacher. I finished it and was very angry about the ending.
Very angry.
And so I thought, I thought about this a little bit before we decided to change the format of the show, but when we changed the format of the show, it made even more sense. And I thought of the idea of, I just wanted a chance to be able to sit and talk about Preacher as a whole with everybody else who's read it, and really just get everybody's opinions on the different parts
right.
of the book. And so I thought it made me think, similar to, you know, Oprah's book club or just general book clubs. I have friends that are a part of local community book clubs. But I thought of the same kind of idea would be a good...
I just got this image in my head of you sitting at a Borders with a bunch of women drinking coffee, you know, coffee, talking about...
I do that because, you know what? I love tits.
And that's, of course, yeah. The place you go for them.
Yeah, Borders and books. Hey, man, they read freaky stuff. You never know.
Borders,
about these.
Books, boobs.
Yeah, Borders, books, boobs. I thought it'd be a good idea for us, and I think entertaining for us and enjoyable, and I think for the listeners as well, for us to pick some forms of entertainment each month and force each other, you know, each one of us come up with a different book. Comic book, like a trade or a story. I mean, I don't know. We'll kind of decide the size of it depending on what everybody has going on. But some kind of comic book, a CD, and a movie. So each of us of the round, me, you, Tom, Sal, will all pick one of these each month. So for the first month, it'll be me, and then we'll just rotate. And we all have to watch, read, and listen to the same thing, and then at the end of the month, last show of the month, we will basically dedicate that show to discussing our opinions on all these different things. And
I think we're going to try and do our best, and I think this will be pretty easy. It's not going to be like Infinite Crisis, Star Wars, and, you know, whatever popular thing. We're going to try and introduce some new stuff that probably went under the radar in all three of those categories.
Well, I mean, I think that it'll be a good thing. I mean, it's really just a situation where we can all have our chance to put up whatever we truly, truly enjoy. Mm-hmm. Even as commercial as it could be or as underground as it could be, it's really, I think, a chance for a lot of us have, you know, a lot of times we talk about stuff and somebody reads something and then a lot of us will be like, oh, yeah, you like that. I probably don't ever read that.
Right.
But this is like almost a way like, you're going to read it, bitch.
You're going to like it.
And, right. And you folks will be able to play along at home with right. us. And kind of going back to the in-stock trades thing, I know that they are going to do their best to make sure that they stock the trade or comic selection for that month. And it sounds like they're even going to give a little bit of an extra discount as incentive to...
For the month.
For the book of that month.
Yeah. Yep. So I tell you, Scotty, why don't you go ahead and unveil our first selections?
All right. For my comic book, I am picking the trade paperback of The Witching Hour. Vertigo put it out, DC, and it's written by Jeff Loeb with pencils by Chris Bacciello and inks by Art Thurbert. I'm not going to go into it really at all. It's kind of a darker tale about some kind of mystical, witch stuff. So maybe Ambrosia can hit us up.
We're not going to piss off pagans again, are we?
Like I said, I'm going to save all the information till we've all had a chance to read it. Mm-hmm.
It is available at In-Stock Trades.
It's available at In-Stock Trades. I checked that today. So that's my comic book of the month. So everybody go out and grab that and read through it. For my movie... I wanted to, for people who don't know, I have a gigantic DVD collection. It looks like Blockbuster in my house. So I sat there in front of my movies for about an hour today just looking like, what am I going to pick?
Looking at
I'm
going to
blow their minds.
Looking at the spines of all of them.
Yeah, and just going blind from colors. So
you narrowed it down to 100 and then 50. Then.
Well, really what I was going into what I was thinking was, I don't want to set a lot of rules for myself on this thing. I really just want to feel free for me, myself, to feel free to pick whatever I want to have fun with and see if you guys enjoy. So the things that I thought about in picking my movie, I'll go ahead and tell you what it is. It's Open Range, starring Robert Duvall, Kevin Costner, and Annette Bening, and directed by Kevin Costner. So my thought process of picking this movie was, A, I think it's an outstanding movie, and I've either, A, heard hardly anybody ever talk about it, and B, if they have, they do not like it. And I'll go into more on that later, again, on the club episode. But another reason I wanted to pick it was it seemed to be as far away from... I wanted to get something that didn't seem like a typical comic book pick, right? I didn't want like your. I didn't want.
We wanted to show the onion that is Scotty Young.
Yeah, he layers, baby, layers. I like porn. And Sabi and chick flicks, too.
And Western.
It's all, yeah, and Western.
You guys don't even want to know about the Love Actually discussion that we had in the car ride.
Very
over
good.
Here.
We might have that later. We might get into that. We might get into that. Because you know why? We can. New yeah, show,
we
baby.
Can. We can.
So, yeah, Open Range. Go out, Netflix it. Buy it, whatever. And
and to reaffirm your manhood, what's the CD pick?
Oh, yeah, baby. My CD pick is, the album is called Blast Tyrant from Clutch. Blast Tyrant. I'm pretty sure it's on iTunes. If not, I think I know it is. I think you got it from from iTunes. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I got it from iTunes.
And if you want, more information, I'm sure we'll have a sticky thread for
sure.
This
so month. The band name is Clutch. The album is Blast Tyrant. It is... Clutch is a somewhat hybrid of kind of metal rock with some
bluesy southern rock.
Southern rock.
It's just fun, kick-ass music. So I'm interested to hear what everybody is going to think about my three. And you know what? My three picks are just all over the map, too.
Yeah,
you know?
It's perfect. I haven't read that book. I haven't seen the movie, and I've only heard a little bit of Clutch, so I'm looking forward to this.
Well, you will, after this month, you will probably come in here with a full beard, tattoos.
And Commando.
And cowboy hat.
Well, definitely Commando. You will come in here with a full beard, tattoos of, like, runes and shit, and leaves and Wiccan shit, and you'll have spurs on.
Spurs and chaps.
Yeah, spurs and chaps, and be smoking a cigar.
And we should mention a bit. It's like, I mean, we're doing this, and obviously we're announcing him ahead of time, so that if you want to play along and listen and read and watch and everything, and then you know, listen into what we have to say. But obviously, you don't have to.
It's completely optional.
Yeah.
You want to get down on the situation. I mean, I would say to people that if you do go along and you watch the movie, read the book, and listen to the CD. And you want to post up your thoughts on the forum or email them in or something before, like, you know, sometime a week before we actually do the show.
Right.
It'd be nice to see what others thought before we actually approach doing the club show. So,
absolutely.
And who knows, maybe we can even get a special guest to chime in as well.
Kevin Costner?
Yeah, Kevin does come over and play Sorry with me. On the weekend.
Sorry.
Uno sometimes. Sometimes
he seems like
Uno.
A Uno guy.
Yeah, he likes Uno. But Sorry's like a challenge. It's like, why do you keep sending me home? I almost had my guy in the circle.
I'm sure he gets very upset.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that's the club for this month.
We don't have a name for it.
Help us name it.
Help us name it. Make it sweet, too. Better not be dumb.
You know, I'll say this right now. If we pick your name, I'll send you Witching Hour. I'll send you a copy of it.
Oh,
Squido.
Wow.
There you go. You name the club, and I'll send you a copy of this this month's
I'll send
trade.
You some bad 80s independent comics.
I'll send you jack shit, because I don't give two shits about you.
All right. Well, we need to make sure and mention that Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7:30, 8:00, whenever we get here. Or at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago.
Chicago.
Drop by. Say hi. Be good.
We'll say hello.
Yes.
I thought somebody was coming tonight, but...
They ignore you.
I think Chris Marshall from Collected Comics Library is going to drop by. Yeah. So he's down from Detroit.
We did have someone send us an email saying that they wanted to know if they came with 40s taped to their hands,
hands,
a Scotty Sucks t-shirt, and came and danced a pagan ritual. Would we let them watch the show? And it was signed Ambrosia.
Nice. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yes, you're more than welcome.
But you have to bring me large, size large, Scotty Sucks t-shirt as well.
You're going to start selling those at concerts.
I am.
Got to.
I believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days.
All right. Well, let's get to it.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
Well, as we told everyone last week, we're still a comic book podcast. We are going to go into a lot of other directions, but we're always going to start with what we've been reading. So, Sal, why don't you start us off? What have you been reading?
Well, since it is a new format and everything, I figured now was a good time
to do the bottom of the stack.
No, not bottom of the stack, but I'm finally
blows, man.
No. I'm finally jumping off.
You've been supporting this book.
I know. I've been supporting this book since the beginning of it, and everybody else has hated this book. And, and I've been supporting it, and I've been going, well, you know, yeah, it's not exactly what I was expecting. It's not what I was hoping for, but there were parts of it that I liked. And I finally, with this is issue number 7 of Batman and Robin, the Boy Wonder by Frank Miller and Jim Lee.
I just have this vision of Sal finishing this up and, like, throwing it down and saying, I'm out.
Yeah, that really was kind of it. I mean, I got done with it. I'm like, I can't do it. I can't defend this any longer. It's just become... I don't. You know, like people said, "Oh, Frank Miller."
Well, tell
lost
people what it is.
I did. I said Frank. Batman.
Oh, you did say it. Okay.
I think he's just like. I think Frank just doesn't give a shit anymore about.
You guys are coming over to my way of thinking. It's like, I've said for a long time that Frank Miller's sitting in his like sweet ass house going,
"Suckers,
jokes on you, motherfucker! Watch this drawing."
I mean, if you've been reading this or paying attention on like message board and stuff, it's like one of the first things that like pissed people off was one of the lines in the book was, "I'm the goddamn Batman." That was something that Batman said, and it was.
I like that actually.
Well, okay, that you know, and I didn't. It didn't bother me, but people seemed to take real offense to it.
Uh-huh. Well, and some people took offense to it, and some people thought it was really funny. I saw the humor in it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, my defense of this book has from the beginning sort of been okay. It's not the Batman that we know at all. I mean, to me, what Miller was trying to say about this book is like Bruce Wayne's kind of insane.
He absolutely, you know, all the way is insane.
He's nuts. Yeah. To do this,
sociopath.
Yeah, you would have to be crazy, mm-hmm. And that's what I thought he was trying to project. But in this particular issue, the goddamn Batman is literally—I didn't count him, but I have to say it is used 12 times
on the
book.
Goddamn Batman.
You know, he says it. Black Canary says it. Robin says it. I think they even said something about the goddamn Batmobile.
Nice.
I mean, so it's like, he's sticking the knife in, twisting it, you know, moving around. Yeah, I mean, he's just, but I'm just like,
when
all
Superman
right.
flies in and says, "You are the goddamn Batman."
Well, that's probably not. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, okay, a final. You know,
I want him to fly in and say, "I'm the goddamn Superman."
Yeah. I mean, it was just like, what is he doing here? You know, so I cannot. I can't really defend
the joke is over.
Yeah, I mean, but the art. The art was, I thought, excellent.
I tell you what.
Well, for the people who were bitching about him saying, "I'm the goddamn Batman," it's hard pressed to say that's the only fucking Batman book on the shelf, right?
That's the thing. It's like,
who gives
the
goddamn?
The big thing with this book is that because it was such an anticipated book, because it's Frank Miller coming back to Batman,
right?
And everybody expected it to be Dark Knight again,
right?
You know, and it's not. It's nothing even
shouldn't be
close to it. You know what I mean? It's completely different, and that's what I kind of enjoyed about it. But now it's just.
But
the ridiculousness of it at some point I enjoyed, but it's just gotten so completely...
Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing about Batman, though, is that, I mean, it's not the only Batman book. If you're a Batman fan, there's eight different places that you can go.
Yeah, no question. So that I had to get that off my chest.
Speaking of, did you pick up Batman 669?
I did not. I have it. I haven't read it yet.
Grant Morrison, J.H. Williams III. This is the last.
That's the finale of the Club of Heroes.
Yeah, this is the Dark Knight Must Die and the Club of Heroes, which some people have liked it, some people haven't. I thought it was really kind of a fun. It was kind of like the Batman version of Clue.
Yeah, murder mystery.
I played Clue the other night.
With Kevin Costner?
No, with Robert Duvall. But, and Tom Cruise. He was all trying to get me to join Scientology. No, really, I did play Clue the other night, though, with my neighbors. We've been going on this fucking crazy game kick. Yeah, like Uno, Sorry, Clue.
I love Clue. I always love
Skip-Bo.
Clue.
Skip-Bo fucking sucks. Anybody who remembered Skip-Bo, it's fucking terrible. And,
Pictionary?
We did play Pictionary.
And that's not fair.
But they challenge dice to fuck my world up.
I would go in there all cocky, right? Like gunslinger, like, ha, ah, I'm going to fucking smash you all. But there's a challenge dice, right? You roll that with the dice, and it tells you extra shit. Like, draw with your eyes closed.
Oh, well,
not
yeah,
so
there,
good.
Yeah,
not so good with that.
Not a pinup.
Draw with the opposite hand. Even not so gooder on that one. And one other one is you can't pick up the pencil.
What? Oh, you have to touch the paper the whole time.
The whole time. That's a hard mode. I'm pretty good at that.
That's
one,
pretty
though.
Tough.
I'm pretty sweet at
well,
that.
Yeah, that's,
I'm going to do my next cover like that. Videotape it so
can't
everybody
wait,
knows it.
Can't wait for that one.
I'm going Frank Miller now, baby.
Oh,
I'm on New X-Men. I can do whatever I want. That's the, right. That is a pretty good selling book, but only
but
pretty good.
But wait.
So, Batman 669. Fun conclusion to it. I would, you know, the schedule that they come out with, everything's kind of broken up because they had the whole Batman 666. So this was kind of jumped around a little bit,
yeah.
But the story is done. And I would assume that they will release this as a trade, just this story. And yeah, it was a fun murder mystery. It kind
of
it was.
I love the
yeah,
the Club of Heroes in it. I thought that was they were. It was like Batmans from different. Cities, sort of. They were kind of Batmans,
yeah, the
but they're all kind of
the
lame.
Mexican
right.
Batman.
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of lame versions of Batman.
Right.
And one time he was a member of the
for
Club
like
of
a week.
Yeah, for like a week, and then he's like, nah, just kind of lame guys, you know. But now he comes back, and there's this murder mystery. But so it was a pretty cool story.
That's
I mean,
cool.
It was definitely a different.
And I love J.H. Williams' art.
Yeah, I do like it. He's got such a cool design sense for a lot of his panel.
Yeah, he always
stuff.
Adds, you know, he's definitely has the
flair to
the
it.
The third.
Scott, you got anything right off the top, or we're just going to just bounce around, I guess?
I finished Preacher.
Yeah.
Then I really quickly reread Death, the old Death with Neil Gaiman.
Oh, really?
And Chris Pacello.
Oh.
It's not as good as I remember it being.
The not what is the first one? Nightmares
High Cost of Living or something.
High
Cost of Living.
Oh, I was thinking Sandman. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. It's pretty good. It's a little slow. It's just really cool artwork. I really like the artwork. I went back and started rereading 100 Bullets because I read a couple trades of that and then got distracted and started reading other things.
Yeah, then you're lost.
And it's been like a good 8-9 months.
Got to start from the beginning.
So I went back and I read the first two trades this week, and, man, that fucking book is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
it
is so good. And everything about it is intriguing. Even when, I mean, it's an overall story, but it does such a great job, even when it wants to do like a little one and done story inside of
right.
it. It still feels like the same book. It's not like some other books when you're reading like a trade and they need like a filler issue or like
It seems like it's something.
It always seems like so out of the blue.
I love the little fill in story with Joe DiMaggio.
I'm not there yet.
Okay. There's a neat little... But it's right. It's just a little one-shot.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing the... Yeah, right now I'm at the first two trades.
Okay.
I just finished the first two. So that's where, like, the first trade is mainly about... what's the girl's name?
Diz.
Diz. It's mainly about her and, you know,
here
kind
in Chicago,
of
baby.
Setting up the whole, you know, here's a attaché with
right.
a gun and 100 untraceable bullets to... and it's almost Graves' way of... It's like a weird social experiment. Like, will you go kill the person who's wronged
you? You don't really know what anything is about
right.
yet.
Yeah,
I mean?
it's slowly releasing information to you, and you slowly find out about, like, the trust and the Minutemen. And
see, that's where I kind of lost it on that. I mean, I love Rizzo's art,
right.
and I loved the book.
Right.
And I made the mistake of initially picking up
singles.
That's
which a book,
is, like,
yeah.
impossible.
Well, we've talked about this. You and I talked about this a while ago, where I said... With a book that is, you know, because we've always talked about books, like what books would be good just to come straight out as graphic novels.
Right.
And for me, because 100 Bullets has obviously found its audience and it is successful, to me, the thing that would help clear up that book a little bit, because I have heard a lot of people, like, as it gets on, they're like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I'm going to
wait.
But
it's almost like a book that I'm like, they should just hold off
or do trades.
Right. Started off, but
it reads so much better in trades.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Even in trades, I mean, I almost feel like on that book,
it needs to come out as like a four volumes of graphic
something.
Novels.
Right. Well, you know? But see, I think with that book, it was a cool idea, a cool concept,
sure.
in the beginning,
but it should have ended sooner, maybe.
Well, it got to the point where it was like, I felt they had to try and now make it a story,
right.
You know, and then it started getting really kind of complex, and then it became convoluted, and you had I mean, you know, you kind of got the feeling like it wasn't going anywhere. You had right. these stories, but he had like this overarching thing that he was trying to keep, you know, tie it all together. Mm-hmm. But that's where I kind of lost it on the book. It was just like, okay, what is going on with the Minuteman and this and that?
I'll probably figure it out because I'm pretty intelligent.
Yeah, but, I know that.
I actually had someone, like a year or two ago, someone actually sent me an Excel spreadsheet with all
the breakdown.
Oh,
I remember that. That was insane.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, there are that many characters
updated in this
book.
But it's an awesome book. I mean, no question. It's so good.
I mean, especially here, like I said, the very beginning. Like, I've read like I've read four trades total. But I'm rereading, and I just ordered the all 11, or the rest of the up until 11. But oh man, like the second trade is so good.
The fifth trade, the counterfeit detective,
counter fifth
detective. Yeah, sorry,
don't say anything about her. I'll break.
It's really
mouth.
Good.
It's awesome.
Break mouths up in
it's
this
good.
On the art side, and you're starting out in the Chicago story.
Sure.
How do you like Rizzo's depiction of Chicago?
Well, it's fine. I mean, it's as fine as it can be in a book. I mean, he hits your typical landmarks, and you can
does the L right.
Yeah, he does the L right.
He did the L. It doesn't look like a New York subway.
Yeah, he did the L. You can tell like what neighborhoods look like and how our L in the city looks.
Well, a lot of times you see cities and it's like it's generic city A.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
This one you could tell if you were from Chicago. If you knew Chicago, you could certainly tell that.
Of course. And I mean, I don't ever find that to be a very big problem nowadays because of the internet. Right.
Right. You have
Google
so much
every location.
Yeah.
But Rizzo's art is
awesome.
Sweet.
I just ordered it just came out I think this month. It's a book called it's all Rizzo, and it was
a black and a white book.
Borderline.
Yeah, no. I don't.
Is it an art book?
I don't think it's an art book. I think it's like horror stories.
Oh, sweet!
It's like horror stories by Rizzo. I think he wrote them.
Ooh.
And
where'd you get it?
I ordered it through Diamond, through DCBS. It was in this month's previews.
Ooh.
So I won't get it for like 3 months.
That's good shit.
But it's called like, God.
Sweetness, probably.
No, it's like Monster Sweetness.
Have you heard of Borderline?
Yeah,
it's
I've
all
heard of it.
Spanish. Right. And then it was translated. Actually, Ivan
Spanish?
Brandon,
right.
NYC Met guy.
Well, they were like. Rizzo and Azzarello, people might not know, but Azzarello's a Chicago as well, lives in my neighborhood.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
Not really. It's not a neighborhood.
Kind of.
Well, they go to the same gym as me.
You work in Ravenswood.
Do you live
in Edgewater?
He lives on the north side of Ravenswood. That's Edgewater.
Do you bench more than him?
No, but I squat a lot.
Commando.
No pants on at the gym.
No.
It's like, what?
That's not right.
But those two went over and did that Batman Broken City.
Yeah, which
you
really
like. Sweet. I mean, Rizzo's art on that was really sweet.
That's one of those story arcs, though, that like people were kind of freaked out by because it was so different.
Right.
You know, but like what was different about it is what you loved about it is like all the rogues were... They
real
were
people
yeah,
that
you know,
had
they
real
messed
afflictions.
Up and, yeah, they
like
were like
Killer Croc.
And, yeah.
Killer Croc was not like the Jim Lee Killer Croc that looked like
skin disease.
Like a demon alien.
Right.
He looked like... It was a
skin disease.
Yeah, with a nasty, scaly skin disease.
Well, that's how Bat Rogue should be, is that, you know, he is a non-superpowered hero, so his rogue should reflect that.
Sure.
More mutations, almost, or something, you know, where it's...
Like, they really
mental disorders.
Yeah.
It was more mental disorders, and some of the mental disorders were from them being disfigured.
Messed up, right,
and, you know, physically disfigured.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it broke their mind. So, I would say, yeah, that's a really good book. I'm going to reread. I need to reread that so I can be fresh. I'll talk about it on another show.
Okay. Pick it.
Mom, Mikey's coming over. We're going to lift, right? So I don't want you coming down the basement bothering us.
Well, the only reason I came down there the last time was that I heard screaming.
Mom, we're lifting, all right? That's what happens, you know? You get pumped up or you scream.
Yeah, but when I came down there, you had your pants down.
Look, Ma, if I want to take my pants down, I'll take my pants down, all right? Well, men, you know? We get pumped up. We get crazy.
All right, if you say so.
Yeah, I do, okay? Look, that's him now, all right? So leave us alone.
Fine. I'll be upstairs if you need me.
All right, I won't. Hey, Mikey, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? What's up?
All right. Hey, you ready to lift?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's get pumped. All right, what do you want to do? Want to do some chest, do some benching?
Nah, I got to do legs. Maybe some squats.
Why?
Well, Angie says I got a flat ass, so...
What? Fuck that bitch. She said that?
Yeah.
Man, fuck her. You got a great ass.
You really think so?
Yeah, man. Don't fucking listen to her. Look, turn around. Let me see your ass. Oh, man, that's a great ass.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's round and muscular. Look, let me see. Like, take your pants down so I can really see it.
Okay. So, what do you think?
Mikey, that is a great ass. I wouldn't lie to you. Look at yourself. You're tripping over yourself here. Standing there with your pants down by your ankles like a fucking moron. Just take them off.
Yeah, I guess that looks kind of stupid, right?
Yeah, you're going to trip and break your fucking head open.
All right, we'll jump into another comic here, but first we have a new addition to the round table.
A podcaster.
Yeah, Mr. Chris Marshall, made the trip down from Detroit, Rock City.
Hello, gentlemen, how are you?
Good to see you, sir.
Hi. Hi, Scotty.
Hi.
If you should probably recognize that voice, Chris is the host of the Collected Comics Library podcast, so one of the our comics podcasting brethren.
Thanks for inviting me down here, guys.
And you're looking svelte.
I'm trying to.
And you'll probably be hearing him on our Monday episodes, I believe.
Have you announced that tonight? Did you get around to that?
Well, people have already heard it, actually.
Oh, that's right.
By the time they hear this,
yes. That's right.
They've hopefully.
You got to remember, I just drove. Why are you breaking the magic, hours,
dude? That's right. Well, it's good to have you here. I want to talk real quick. You had had it on your stack of comics.
Oh, I lost my stack.
The Justice League of America, the wedding special came out last week, and then the Sissies. Injustice League of America,
JLA 13,
which starts the McDuffie run.
Yeah.
The
Wayne McDuffie. Dwayne McDuffie and Benitez, what's his first name?
Jose? Joe
Benitez.
Fun, you know. I think it's what you want out of a JLA book. It's, you know, all the heroes fighting all the bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, you got the Injustice League, Lex's group of bad guys that he's putting together to beat the living crap out of the Justice League, and what I liked about it was, there's been kind of, the last issue, they were putting the team together in the wedding special.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've sort of, you know, they started striking at the Justice League.
The Injustice team.
Yeah, very methodically, and so far they've kind of kicked their asses at this point.
No doubt about it.
Part of me is like, I like it, but part of me is like, it's a little too...
comic booky?
Well, no, not comic booky, but like Saturday morning cartoon, you know...
That's kind of the charm of it, is that you see the old school Challenge of the Super Friends, Legion of Doom.
I did like it. The art was interesting. I thought... I wasn't really familiar with Joe Benitez's stuff. I thought he had a very McFarlane-ish...
No, he spent years and years and years at Top Cow.
Did he?
Yeah, doing a lot of stuff at Top Cow.
Okay.
He might have done The Darkness for a while. I don't want to say for sure, but I know he's done a lot of stuff at Top Cow.
I don't like all of his art in this. I feel like some of the stuff seems a little posed, a little stiff.
Some of the faces were a little odd.
I love his Gorilla Grodd.
Kind of fucked out looking. Yeah, the Gorilla Grab was good. It was fun. I mean, I think if you're a Justice League fan, I mean, it's got everything in it you want.
But definitely get the wedding special because it leads right into it.
Yeah.
It's almost...
I was surprised how much I liked the wedding special.
Yeah. It's almost JLA 12 and a half.
Yeah.
You really need to
read it. I really think there should be more comics about weddings.
Well, it wasn't really about a wedding.
Well,
so much
more
as
I think there should be more books that have wedding in the title, even if it's about bloody murder,
bloody wedding,
bloody murder. Just call it Wedding Beautiful Bells.
No,
whatever.
That won't work.
Whatever.
I don't know who you think you are, buddy.
Whatever.
Last one, and it's
how come you said last one and you picked up four?
Because it's another one that ties in
it's
with another
two.
One.
It's last two, have, actually.
The wedding special for JLA that goes into Justice League of America, but going over to Marvel, the Immortal Iron Fist number 9, then continued into Iron Fist Annual number 1.
And yes.
Iron Fist is quickly becoming my favorite book.
He's got chi.
It's good.
Yeah, it was fun. I A couple of things in it in particular. I love Aja's art. He reminds me so much of Severin.
Yeah.
Whenever I read it, I keep thinking about Mad Magazine.
Really?
Well, yeah, because Severin did a ton of stuff in Mad Magazine.
I was Alfred E. Newman 1 year for Halloween.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite Halloween costume. move on.
And every time I read, I keep thinking about that Severin stuff from Mad Magazine. It just certain little things that he does in there really reminds me of it. But yeah, this is a cool issue. I like the fight with the big sumo
fat
dude.
Cobra.
Yeah, Fat Cobra. And I'm getting a little tired of the like special moves that they keep putting in there, like
thundering round house.
Yeah,
dragon
it's kick. Like okay, I kind of get it, but it's like all right, we can move on.
I think if they do that once or twice in every one of the tournament fights, and that's the story right now is that Danny Rand is in the Capital Cities of Heaven Kung Fu tournament, and he's fighting all these other immortal weapons.
Yes,
from all,
and he's become a much more powerful character.
Yeah, but you kind of talked about that today over one.
Yeah, I was just saying like I enjoyed out of the Thor where they made him more powerful without like it being some extreme change to the character. The same here. It's like Danny Rand is still the Iron Fist. He's just a more powerful Iron Fist because he's learned more about using the Iron Fist.
Yeah,
and I like how they've done it. They've made him a lot more dangerous of a character, but not in a way where it's like ridiculous and out of sort of the...
He can kill you without touching you now.
Yes, which is... I can do that.
And then the annual continues right out of Iron Fist, the regular series.
Yes.
And it, but it's more
it's
of
It's kind of a standalone story, though,
yeah.
At the same time. And it had Chankin art and
Dan
Brereton art in it, which was pretty cool to see. And it was more of a side story, a little more history on Orson Randall, the other Iron Fist that we met in the beginning of this arc, or the beginning of Immortal Iron Fist, I should say. Tells a bit more about his history and how it ties in with Danny Rand's history and father and that kind of. And it finally like explained who all these people are because I was having a hard time between Wendell Randall, Orson Randall, Wendell Randall,
Rand.
Yeah, so I finally got it. I think
Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand was in there somewhere.
If you're a fan of The Escapist, you know, the little prestige graphic novels.
Michael Chabon.
This really reminded me of Escapist stories, because it was
World War I-ish, or after
World War II.
I think it was before World War II. It was like in between.
Yeah, it had a very 30s
like
feel to it.
Yeah, 39.
And
maybe.
it's Orson
Randall.
Randall. And his group of
misfit heroes.
Yeah. It reminded me a lot of The Escapist.
Yeah. Oh, it was cool. It was a very cool annual. And like I said, it ties in right after issue number 9 of Immortal Iron Fist, but at the same time, it's sort of a standalone.
And it was the good shaken.
It was the good shaken. Yeah, definitely.
Because there's good shaken and bad shaken.
Yeah. And bad shaken will slap you.
Backseat fucking drivers.
What? Oh, you don't like us bad mouthing artists?
Hey, we're talking way too much about comics.
Yeah.
Whoa, what?
Enough of this.
Oh my God, that came out of Chris's mouth.
Wow.
Come on.
Let's talk about Buffy.
Buffy, no.
Why not? Why
the show's been over?
So it lives on forever and ever in hearts
and comic.
Souls.
And in comics.
It is in comics.
Well, we're talking about the show.
Buffy?
Yeah, man. That's sweet.
The biggest problem I have with Buffy.
Let's hear it.
Is
it's on.
No, I like the show.
Right.
But the problem I have with it now is that every time there's a new show or movie that's like an action thing,
right,
it always has to be a woman.
Sure.
And not that that's a problem necessarily, but sometimes it feels kind of forced.
Right.
Perfect example, I know you didn't see it. Chris, I know you watched it, but I watched Bionic Woman. The premiere was this week.
Good show. And I like Bionic Woman.
Oh, did you really? I will say I did not care for it at all. I went into it wanting to like it. I watched the promo of it. I thought it was pretty cool. But after I was done watching, I'm like, no, it's just I didn't care for it. But one of the things I had the problem with, going back to the Buffy thing, was it was like, okay, they introduced this character that's sort of your everyday average female, young female. She's a bartender. And then she gets in a car accident, and they...
She fights vampires.
Well, and then she turns into a superhero, basically, because sure. she's well, the Bionic Woman. But not only that, her complete attitude changes from, like, fighting with her sister right. about... crap to I will bury men, you know, like right. literally she says keep bringing at the end of it she's like
I'll bury one
I'll bury
other.
One guy after the next
right
and it's like how, where did that come from all of a sudden you're this I'm like if you wanted her to be a badass
right.
why didn't you just introduce her as a badass it would have made more sense than like oh she's your average you know 20 right. something year old bartender but because we put bionics in her she's a killing machine
she's Wolverine right. now
yeah you know and it's like and that's the problem I have sometimes with like I find, Alias
right.
and
Alias well, I thought was fantastic for me like Buffy right like I've rewatched all 7 seasons of that and Angel mm-hmm. many times over you know I pop them in while I work and just blaze through seasons and as I rewatch them, I always enjoy the overall show, the overall storyline. I do enjoy the big kind of stories, and especially as the seasons go on, they get better.
For the big bad.
But as I do rewatch it, I often ask myself, why the fuck do I like this? You know what I mean? Like, there's parts like, when a guy is in, like, a velour fucking suit, and he walks into the cemetery, and he has a shark head. And he's like, where you got my kittens, Spike? You owe me some kittens. I'm like, what? Why the fuck do I
you
like this show?
You guys play for kittens?
Yeah. It's just, there's so many...
if you look too hard at it...
Yeah, it's almost like you have to ignore some things just to be like, don't, oh no, don't look. Just it's like watching like terrible, like a movie, like a show that has surgery. Like you can block out the surgery part because you don't want to see the gore. It grosses right. me out. Just show me...
The drama.
Yeah, the drama and the boobs. Yeah, there are so many parts of that show that I'm like... I just can't figure out why I like this. But then it'll turn right around and get super heavy and dramatic and good. And I think the thing that show had really was just really, really good character development. And it kept...
Smart dialogue. It just...
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of dialogue that you... Clever.
I don't know smart, but there were some very clever moments. Right. You know, Whedon has a knack for finding that one just clever offbeat line right. that breaks the tension.
Well, I do want to... This is something that I would like to say, where obviously Joss is given credit, not and should be, for creating the show, but people need to remember that...
Marty Knoxon.
I mean, that he... There were many yeah. more episodes written by
other people.
Other people than him, especially as the seasons go on. Mm-hmm. Because I do believe in... this could be completely wrong, but to my knowledge, once Angel started, I think... that he focused on that a little bit more and let Buffy...
Well, it was kind of like X-Files with Chris Carter. It's like he had control of like the overall... Right.
Yeah, but the best episodes in there were not Chris Carter episodes.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think any of it has to do with just because like you've also like since you first watched it, you've gotten older, maybe your taste has changed a little bit or anything like
no,
that?
No, because I did not watch it. I didn't want to watch one episode as it aired.
Because I had a weird...
The show was over.
Oh,
by the time
watching.
I started watching it.
There was about 3
them.
Years where people knew not to call my house on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. So I was
actually on the other... that show, there was 2 shows that I just... And I've turned around on it, but there was 2 shows that I was like, I will never fucking watch that show.
Buffy?
Buffy was one of them. Because I was like, I do not watch shows that have Buffy.
And Trading Places.
I'm a man. No, Trading Places is shit. Trading Spaces, you mean?
Oh, Trading Spaces.
Trading Spaces is a shit. I will tell you, when I started my career, I watched, because I worked so long, I would watch 20 episodes that day. Because at TLC, that's all that network was.
It was the only show they had. Yeah.
Right. But there were 2 shows. Buffy, because I was like, I am a man. I have a penis, and I do not watch shows that are called Buffy.
You found out you didn't.
And the other show was Friends.
Friends is so damn good.
It was so good.
It's so good.
And I fought the power for so long.
I did too on Friends.
And I was
Friends.
Like, no. And again, you know why? Because I'm a man, and I don't get down with bullshit.
I was the same way with Friends. I would not watch. I didn't watch it for probably 4 seasons.
Yeah.
I would not. I refused to
watch it. I didn't watch a single episode.
I'm like, I cannot watch this. And then once I started watching, I was addicted
to it. Same thing. I didn't watch a single episode on air. The show, the season that it ended, the last episode
aired.
That's
when you started watching.
And then Casey was like, the show's over. And she was so, like, she just watched the finale, so she felt very nostalgic. And, God, I want the season. So I went out and I bought her all 10 seasons.
Oh, Jesus.
And, and
nothing in moderation for you.
No, I buy anything. I roll. That's the nature of my groove.
Well, wanted to get a look at you.
Who are you?
I'm negative
here. You have $50 million worth of my property inside you, so I guess you could say I'm your landlord.
What do you want from me?
I don't know. Maybe you died 3 days ago and you just haven't realized it yet.
Is that a threat?
I know free agents here, Miss Summers. Sooner or later, you have to make a choice. It goes something like this. Heads you lose, tails you die.
Welcome to the game.
Hey. If we do this, whatever this is, we do it on my terms. That's not okay with you. I know what I'm capable of now. So you send whoever you send, and I'll bury one guy after the next. You understand me?
I had a weird thing happen, like a show that I watched and loved it when I watched it, when it aired. And then I went back, like years after it's been done, and watched it again. And I was like, oh, this
what,
isn't...
The Kindred?
No, the like Oz.
I like that show.
From HBO. Which I loved that show when it aired, and then I went back and watched it. And I'm like,
it's so lame,
like,
really.
Wow, there's something. Well, it's like,
wait, what show?
On HBO.
HBO's Oz.
Oh, you don't like?
I absolutely loved Oz when it was on, and I watched it all. I was addicted to that show, and then it ended, and now it's been whatever, however many years later.
Right.
And I started watching. They had re-aired.
It's a really, like really terrible soap opera, isn't it?
Well, that's what I kind of got. I was like, wow, this is really kind of bad.
Shower gang rape.
Right.
You know,
what people don't realize is all the HBO shows that you've come to love over the years, the Six Feet Unders, the Sopranos,
Sex and the City.
All these big shows came from. Sex and the City was kind of one of there was other half hour shows before Sex and the City,
Larry
like Dream On and Larry Sanders. Yeah. But Sex and the City was kind of the first huge takeoff in overall audience. People for the first time were signing up for
that was another show that I refused to watch.
It became a destination.
I've heard that.
Really good.
Sex and the City?
Yeah.
Oh, great show.
Great show. Learn a lot of helpful shit on that show.
Well, you know,
but Oz was responsible for a lot of these shows, The Wire, all these shows.
Oh, yeah, because
the one-hour drama.
HBO becoming that Sunday night place to go watch the one-hour dramas, Oz kind of started it all because it was kind of the first place that you got to see an hour-long drama with no fucking boundaries.
Right.
And then, of course, everything started
spinning
out of
that. They were kind of the Cosby Show. Was it Cosby Show that started the Thursday night NBC run that lasted for like two decades?
Probably.
Cosby Show, Family Ties.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers and Night Court, and then it went into
Night Court,
Hill Street Blues, or
at 9 o'clock,
or L.A. Law, and then ER, and it's been ER ever since.
It was.
I want to go back to why you like Bionic Woman.
Yeah, I want
to. What was it about Bionic Woman that you like? Because I couldn't find much in that.
I grew up watching the original 70s.
Well, I'm sure, me too.
And I love $6 Million Man and the whole Jimmy Summers. But I thought it was cool for the fact that you had. She was violated in a way, and that was a pretty cool angle they did, where in the old one with Lindsay Wagner, it was kind of like, oh, she woke up, she had bionics, and she could play tennis again. And this one, it's a little different. And again, there's still the military aspect. But again, it's very, you can see things coming. You can see the relationship between the doctor and his dad, you know, that whole dynamic. You see Miguel Ferrer's character, and I love Miguel Ferrer. You can see his character playing both sides of the fence.
Which I did like. I did actually thought that was one of the more interesting parts of it, was you weren't sure where he was at.
And what does that remind you of? What other role was he in? RoboCop. He played that exact same role. You weren't sure if he was good or bad, because RoboCop was his baby. Then at the end, he's snorting
and
coke.
They even
you know, and he gets shot and everything. You know?
They even did the same thing with her boyfriend, the doctor.
Yeah, he's
kind of weren't sure whether he's a company man or whether he was looking out for her throughout, even at the end of it. There were things of it that I liked.
And the other bionic woman is an interesting dynamic, too.
Oh,
and you wonder if the two women are going to team up. And you wonder if there's a $6 million man out there running around.
Somewhere.
Or if the doctor is a $6 million man.
I was pissed. I didn't hear at least one time.
I thought when she was running through the woods, they
I didn't hear it. They needed to. At least one, just one time.
I thought they did.
Like a kid.
I didn't hear.
Well, you know, Sal, hey, it's Bionic Woman.
I love grown men.
Sal and I were talking about this earlier. At lunch, we were talking about this, and that they really went the long way around to get to a point that could have been easy. It's like, if she's gonna be, you know, rebuilt by the military, if she's gonna be a badass, why not just start out with her in the military?
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand. I mean, I understand. It's like they were trying to force her to be,
because they had to sell this pilot. Like, NBC really had to sell this pilot.
Bionic for the women. Bionic soccer mom.
Yeah, she has to be a 20-something bartender.
And they're up against Sarah Connor Chronicles on Fox. And that's another.
Really? There's a Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Yeah, the Terminator sequel.
Does it happen after Judgment Day?
It happens like a year after Judgment Day.
Oh, my.
Part 2. You're disregarding Part 3 at all. You didn't see the.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
It's coming out.
I bit torn everything. Too. Yeah. But no, what? That's coming out.
Oh, illegal. 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 Hey, seriously, you guys
do opinions of guests of the show.
Yeah, I don't.
Can I mention one other show?
Yeah. Sure.
We were at the Detroit podcaster meetup the other night, and we were all talking about Heroes. And the question came up.
Don't talk about anything that's on television.
No. The question came up. Is anybody going to be watching Journeyman?
I watched it. I loved it.
All of us said no.
Don't talk about it.
I'm not going to talk about it. But we're just kind of tired of the whole time travel bit. That Hero, and they kind of like grabbed Hero's time travel, and it's been fun and everything, and they kind of turned that into a Quantum Leap show all of its own.
Yeah, but like, see, the thing that, what I liked about it so much, though, is that it did something that no other show has really done.
Kind of a nice twist on it.
Is that it dealt with the repercussions of him being gone, of him, you know, like he's missing for 2 days, and at least half of that show, if not more, dealt with the problems that caused him in his life, as opposed to just him going back in time and trying to fix stuff. And that's what I thought was more interesting about that show. Mm-hmm. Plus, I really enjoy that actor from Rome. He was in Rome, which is one of my favorite HBO shows. But I liked Journeyman. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. But.
Have you guys watched... has anybody watched Dead Like Me?
Dead Like
Me. It was a Showtime show.
Yeah.
Is that the...
The girl.
The Grim Reaper?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's clever. It's a clever show.
You've got to watch that show. I think it's only ran 2 seasons, and then I think they're going to try to make 2 or 3 seasons. I got 2 seasons on DVD, and they were going to try to make a movie out of it. It's one of those great shows that I just don't know if it caught its audience. And it was kind of at the beginning of Showtime's attempt at shows.
Right.
I love Weeds.
Weeds is good.
Dexter's a pretty decent show.
But Dead Like Me is, you know, this girl gets killed very right beginning of the show by a toilet seat that is falling from space.
From space?
Yeah, and it just falls and it's flaming and kills her. And
that's a shitty way to
die. The Grim Reaper, you know, it's basically, it's almost like the Grim, you know, there's Grim Reapers for different kinds of death.
Okay.
And they're all over the world.
She's
tons of
them. Toilet seat Grim Reaper now.
Well, no, she is the Grim Reaper who, like, violent deaths. Violent accidents or whatever.
Right.
So the Grim Reaper that takes her soul, her soul is his last one. And then she has to take his place. It's basically following the life and times of a brand new Grim Reaper amongst other.
So she's learning how to do it.
She looks the same way that she does to her Grim Reapers, but she looks different to the outside world. Like her appearance changes.
Okay.
But Jasmine Guy is one of the Grim Reapers. And I will tell you what, she is fantastic.
Really?
She's a meter maid. Because they got to have jobs.
So they're like alive?
They're
undead.
They're basically kind of like...
But they exist like here
in the world. They got to find places to live.
Oh, really?
They got to have jobs.
But their side job is they take souls.
Every day, they meet at a Waffle House, like an IHOP. And their boss hands them Post-it notes with a name, initials... of a name, an address of where to be, and what time. They have to then go there, find out who... I mean, they don't tell you what it looks like. It's on a yellow Post-it note. So they each get a yellow Post-it note, and then there's these gravelings. So you always see these ghosting goblins that are making all these.
God, how did I never? I mean, I heard about that show, but I had no idea.
These funny accidents
happened,
but Jasmine Guy is part of the. You know, she's one of the Grim Reapers, and she is a meter maid, and it is so great. Right off the bat, they establish her kind of attitude, and she's going up to give this guy a ticket on his car, and he's like, you take it back, you know, and she's like, nah, I can't do it, you know, just flat out, like, nah. And he just starts going, you think you're all powerful, blah, blah, just because I got a nice car, you got to give me a ticket. And she pulls open her jacket. She has a meter maid, and she has a goddamn Glock on her hip. And she goes, sir, I will fuck you up. And she just opens and shows the gun. Right off the bat, I was like, this show is great. You know, Jasmine Guy, we saw her on, she was always the prissy kind of preppy one on Different World or whatever. Yeah. To see her just kind of be this all-out bad, and just like, sir, I will fuck you up. But it is such a clever show. It's such a cool little dark comedy.
Dark comedies have a hard time on
TV. Yeah, because it is quirky, but...
Pushing Daisies is going to be tough.
It is. The deaths are hilarious.
I'm going to have to check that out. That sounds awesome.
For example, there's you'll always see these weird little goblins very quickly running around, and like, okay, it has a water guy, the water man. He's bringing in the bottles of water into an office.
Right.
And he's switching out an empty bottle, and he picks up the new bottle to put it in. And all of a sudden, you see this kind of quick grave, the graveling go in and spill water on the floor, and so the water man slips. The full bottle that he's holding goes flying in the air and lands in his mouth. and drowns
him. So they're like,
so he's just laying on the ground with a giant like
jug of water.
Yeah, jug of water just like exploding him. So it's always like
something odd,
silly,
weird,
right? It's always
accidents,
kind of, right? Accident. And then of course there are souls there, and there's all kinds of weird little rules.
Definitely have to.
There's two seasons out of them on DVD. I would say you should definitely check those out. They're really fun.
My parents are selling my house. You want anything, sweetie?
No, thanks.
The house I grew up in, they're selling it.
How much?
I have no idea.
How much is the check?
Why would they do this? They loved our house. It just doesn't add up.
What's the problem?
We lived there for 20 years.
What's the problem with the check? She didn't charge us enough.
Let's pat and run.
We most certainly will not.
Right, Johnny Law on the spot.
They're just up and leaving. She didn't charge me for my fruit salad.
Doesn't make sense.
It makes sense. Copsy free.
It doesn't make sense. Her parents are moving.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe it's just too painful for them to walk by your bedroom every day.
I mean, it's not like they need the extra space, because when she kicked the bucket, they gained an extra room.
Roxy, do me a favor. Shoot him.
Gladly. So far ahead of this, babe.
I was joking. Roxy.
Look at you. You think you're so bloody special, don't you? Prancing around in your tight blue trousers and your big shiny gun. Well, let me tell you something, sweetheart. Cops don't eat free. People hate cops.
Please don't. I've had a bad morning already.
Excuse me, Tiffany. Hi, could you settle a dispute for us?
What is it, sweetheart?
Do officers of the law receive complimentary meals?
No. Coffee's free. You want some more coffee?
No, thank you. So what? You just neglected to charge her for her fruit salad.
Well, look at that. You're right. I'll get you in the chair.
Jesus Christ!
Fucking hell!
So they're selling your childhood home.
And Chris, since, you know, we didn't like Bionic Woman, and he did, you know, what don't you like about Weeds? You
talk said, about season one, though.
That's what I was only. That's
you're
only
gonna have to get over this somehow.
I don't do this.
I'm only. I think through season one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Godmother was the last episode I saw. So
I've only seen a handful of episodes, but the whole, you know, mom selling pot to stay in her family is just, you know, beyond. You know, I just don't find it funny.
Well, I mean,
I know it's a funny show. Kevin Nealon is funny as Kevin Nealon can be, but I'm just kind of over the whole drug thing. Well, I'd rather watch, you know.
I don't know
Shield.
How much of it.
Shield is fucking awesome.
It definitely has. It, definitely is about drugs and drug culture.
Yeah.
But it's really more about poking fun at suburbia.
They do, right.
That's
bastards.
That's really what the and not even your suburbia. it's like Southern California.
No, it's any suburb. That's I mean it's anywhere, oh yeah, it's me. Any suburb. So
but
that's
it, but it also is I what I thought about it cuz I in the same way I tend to stray away from anything that has to do with fucking pot cuz I find it to be juvenile, right? Like when you name things like bong water. You see the movie Bong Water? No, because I'm a grown man and I don't watch shit about bongs.
Unless you're high.
unless it's hot boobs. But
bongs?
Weeds. I wanted to stay away from almost the same reason, yeah. But part of I think was almost like a social issue that I think as people we go through in that she wasn't just selling weed to sustain her family, but it's that weird.
To sustain her lifestyle.
Yeah. Lifestyle. You know, yeah. To me, that's what it... It was almost a more like a social commentary on look how fucked up people are about their material world.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. That they would sell drugs to maintain...
She's trying
the illusion
she's
of this white
her,
suburban
yeah.
yes. upper
she's
class...
She's trying to keep her kids playing soccer yes. in right. the right schools. But everything that she's doing, her kids are fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Beyond all belief because of what she's doing.
Right. Yeah, I think, so to me, that's what I enjoyed about the show, more so than, I don't find drugs humorous. I mean, it's just
well,
not,
drug humor, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like...
It's just, you know...
But that's not really what
like,
the
hey,
show...
Hey, man,
right,
type
right.
comedies you
Cheech
could
and
see.
Chong or...
And that's almost Kevin Nealon.
No, Cheech and Chong is fucking hilarious.
Well, but that's what I mean, it's like, beyond Cheech and Chong, you don't really need to do anything
right,
more,
yeah.
you know what I mean? It's like, they did it all yeah, it's in done, the it's 70s, there. You know what I mean? It's like, it's already been done, you
I
know?
I kind of like Dazed and Confused, though.
Yeah, but that was more about high school.
If only because
in
I was
the 70s.
Yeah,
right.
yeah. If only because I was that age, like I was their age when I watched it, and I was kind of a junkie at
have
that
you,
point in
you,
my life.
Have you noticed how much more? I mean, I seem to have noticed it's like so much more. There is so much more drug use in comedies nowadays. I just watched Knocked Up.
Yeah,
with the guys from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
They get high
real
in
funny.
Every movie that they're. That
well,
they're,
I mean, but that's like all they're doing, and when they're not telling the story of the movie. They're getting high. I mean, that's right. all they're doing. But it's like you see, I seem to have noticed of late. It's like it seems like so much more drug use in films, especially comedies, younger comedies. Once again, it's like when did that sort
but
of come back around?
You know what? There is drug use when I was growing up. I mean, look at Less Than Zero and Bright Lights, Big City.
Yeah, but that was
but
drugs
were about drugs.
That was about
well,
the
I mean, right.
detriment
but drugs
of drug
were,
use.
You know, and it wasn't like Harold and Kumar or anything like that. I mean,
yeah,
like,
yeah, but, yeah, but those movies. Yeah, those were movies. I mean, like those movies that you mentioned were movies.
This is how you destroy your life.
Yeah, about right. what True. Drugs yeah. can do. These
and
are
look at
movies talking
now.
About like, oh, I got this girl pregnant, and I'm smoking pot.
Yeah.
Right,
oh,
right.
And here's
right.
two guys, you know, playing Mortal Kombat. Oh, and they're getting high while they're doing it and having a really good time because they're friends. And
right.
You know, I don't think it's a very, you know. Uncommon picture of
right.
you know of American life
and
for a lot of people.
This might just be. I mean, this might just be me, but I am the kind of person who, at 30 years old, I can't even hardly tolerate somebody going, "Oh man, I got so fucking drunk this weekend." You know, like even those kind of stories to me, I'm like,
took me 3 days.
Who gives a goddamn? That's like me coming up to you guys tonight and going. Oh man, I drank so much fucking water today. I mean,
I was pissing for an hour
I'm
and
serious.
A half.
Like I drank a lot of water. I mean, that's not cool, right? I mean, who cares?
I can't keep up. It took me 3 days to recover after the Bullpen Bulletins episode.
Jesus. Yeah. No, when I'm 16, sure.
Well,
right?
That's what
like,
I mean. But that's
I snuck
what
I, out. And I'm,
the thing that kind of, and maybe it's just because I'm getting old, but the thing that kind
that's
of bothers
part of it. Yeah.
Well, the thing that kind of bothers me about it is I sit there and think, you know, it's like okay, you have a movie about. These, you know, six nerds, you know, kind of geeky
right.
dudes that but are cool and funny. And if you're a 16, 17-year-old kid going to see that movie and you're watching them and most of their day is spent,
sure.
you know, playing video games and smoking weed, it's like, well, what does that really kind of say to anybody? I mean, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what it says right now. When me and my friend saw Dazed and Confused when I was
right.
16 or 17. Mm-hmm. We were wasted watching it, but it only reinforced that we were doing cool shit.
Right.
right. Like,
well, that's what
oh,
I mean.
Yeah.
It sort of reinforces the idea that it's, you know.
And there's nothing
I mean, I got nothing
that
wrong.
Movie,
I got nothing.
That movie has a funny line where the guy says, hey, I came here to do two things tonight. Drink some beer and kick some ass. And we're almost out of beer. That's sweet. That's, you can't get more redneck than that, baby.
Is that McConaughey?
No. Oh,
no, his line was,
you holding?
No.
It'd be cooler if you were.
His line was,
I keep getting older. Same age.
I love these high school girls.
But actually, a lot of people forget that Ben Affleck was in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
He was.
Yeah, and he was the big dick.
Yeah, the douchebag. Yeah. Everybody hated.
And he had a little weight on him. Do you guys know this is a fun fact?
Oh.
Fun fact time. Ben Affleck was in, that movie and Mallrats and some other movies like that. And do you know that Michael Bay, Jerry Bruckheimer, when they were looking to put him in Armageddon, that they went and gave him all new teeth?
Really?
So go back and watch Mallrats, and then watch any movie from Armageddon on.
We gotta fix your teeth there,
yeah.
Ben.
Literally, because he had almost like because he's a big guy. He's my height. He's 6'4". He's a pretty he's a tall guy. But they were like he had almost looked like baby teeth. Like they were smaller.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and if you go back after knowing this, go back and look. It's
he's
a different world. Now he's a pimp. You're like, look at that grill, man. That's sweet.
Then he was like creepy looking.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna bite your head. Yeah.
That's a fun little fact.
There you go.
Well, at least they take care of him, you know.
Yeah, okay, but they were like, we can't put you in a movie because your grill's fucked up.
New teeth for Bennifer.
Oh, what else? You know what else I'm watching?
What?
Me and Casey are about halfway through the season on DVD. Just to let everybody know, once again, I don't watch anything on.
I know
air.
It's annoying.
It's annoying.
Chris, this should be one of your best listeners because he only buys things that have been collected in either DVDs or as.
You know why? Crazy. Because when things are on air, you know what I'm doing? Getting rich, working, baby.
Oh God.
I'm putting kids to bed. That's what I'm doing.
I've got no babies.
TiVo.
I don't have a fool with that shit.
It's easy.
I like having...
I got 12 episodes of Frisky Dingo on my TiVo right now.
I'd rather, like, just wait and get that big box and
sit. Well, I like doing that, too, but...
But we got the... I never really heard anything about it until the DVD came out, and my neighbors told me about it. But Brothers and Sisters.
I haven't seen that one.
Really, my wife's watching that,
it's really good. It has an outstanding cast.
Mark, do you like the writing?
Yeah.
Mark Guggenheim.
Is he writing it, really?
Yep.
Well, was he?
There's your comic tie-in.
Did he have something from Everwood? Was he involved with Everwood?
Mark
Guggenheim was.
But
a good show.
The main writer. Yeah.
Well, I think he was. I think he was.
One of the main writers from Everwood was. Because at the beginning of the show, somebody else was involved. My neighbors know all this, and they told me about it. At the first the very first part of the season. There was another writer involved, and it's a writer very well known for being overly heavy and overly dramatic. And quickly, they got that writer away and brought in Everwood, the writer. And right away, you could tell a tonal change of the show. Because there's like 6-7 main characters. And I'm talking about they share equal screen time, because they're all brothers, and this is a huge family.
Wow.
And right off the bat, there was so much drama that I was like, there's too many characters for this much drama to be happening. This is going to be a hardcore show. And it really toned itself down. But the cast, it has Sally Field.
Allie McBeal.
Chris Flockhart. Rob Lowe.
I
call him Sam Seaborn because I watched The West Wing for 7 seasons.
Sam Seaborn.
But Rob Lowe, who's the actor who played Sloane on Alias?
I have no idea.
Sloane. I just call him Sloane to this day. Sloane's on there, and I was like, oh my god, I'm going to get to see Sloane not be so evil.
Does it ever freak you out when you see like a show you watched for years, and then all of a sudden one of the characters from that show is on something else? I just had that, what the hell was I watching? I think it was Bionic Woman. No, maybe it wasn't Bionic. It was some show that just aired a new show this week. But there's a character from 24 on there.
Oh, okay.
Just like, my brain can't comprehend.
Right. Oh, everybody's seen 6 Feet Under, right?
Yeah.
Brenda from 6 Feet Under,
the
Australian actress, is on the show as a main character.
Oh, wow.
And that's exactly what you just said. I was so excited because on 6 Feet Under, at the beginning, you're like, eh, and by the end of 6 Feet Under, you just hate that cracked out, crazy ass bitch, right? She's insane. And now you watch this show, you're like, oh my gosh, she's normal.
So nice.
Yeah, she's kind of normal. Sweet. It is nice. I like that when you take a character, especially like Sloan from Alias, where they wrote that character, I mean, so
right.
One note
oh, yeah.
For 5 seasons. He was the same guy, and it was so, and it took me a couple episodes not
to shake it.
He's being nice.
He's
but I'm going,
a dick.
I'm like, oh, don't trust
snap.
Him.
He's gonna
bring Sark in, and Sark's gonna cut you.
Don't trust him. You're paranoid yeah, about him.
Yeah, I'm like, Sarah.
Well, that means he did his job.
Sarah, don't let him babysit your kids. He'll sell it for a Rambaldi
well,
part.
I watched 24 for years, like the first whatever 5 seasons of it. I loved that show. And
I
like
every other season. I think literally every other season sucks.
But
that means it's going to be good this year, right?
But now whenever I see the Allstate commercials with the one the guy who played the president,
the
I'm like,
guy,
it's
yeah.
the president. It's
yeah.
not the guy doing
He's
Allstate.
He's on the unit now.
Yeah.
Oh, is he? Oh, that's right. I haven't watched that yet.
Oh,
I
love it. I got the first
season. If you
season.
Like the Shield, you must
you
love the
what?
Unit.
I made it. Maybe I need to finish it because I made it a little about halfway through the unit of the first season, and I thought, oh, this is terrible. Because I just felt like at the beginning they started a story, and then it just felt... There's another version of a character who I cannot... what's his name? Who was on Felicity. Scott? Is it Scott?
Scott, yeah. Scott. Scott Wolf.
Scott Mayo.
Anyway,
yeah,
Scott.
He's Bob Brown. He's Bob Brown.
And was married to Jennifer Garner for a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that dude.
But, I mean, on
From
Felicity... He is the nerd, smart guy, like goofy guy, and now he's a assassin, and he kills people.
He's gonna kill
and I'm
you.
Just going, no, Felicity would be so disappointed. She will hate you, Noel.
Don't do it.
So
cut her
the funniest
hair again.
Thing, funniest thing about the unit was Dennis Haysbert's character, right? He was Sirianno.
In Major League, yeah.
Well, to start off the season on the unit, he's in hiding.
Yes.
So he shaved his head.
Yeah.
And grew
he's Siriano.
I looked at him like, oh
Jesus.
My God.
Yeah. Fuck you, Jobu. I say, fuck you, Jobu.
Yeah. See, stop now, Jobu. Look, I go to you. I stick up for you. Do you know, help me now. Jobu. I do it myself.
Well, I want to go back to one. Just ask you guys if you had seen the previews for a movie that's coming out. We were talking about Alias before with Jennifer Garner, a new movie with her.
Oh, The Kingdom?
Yeah, The Kingdom. Have you seen any
great.
Of that?
I want to see it, though.
I saw like a making of thing they had on HBO.
When did
on
he
that,
become
man.
An awesome actor?
Who?
Jamie Foxx.
Forever, man.
Yeah, but you know, he did make that leap from, what was that, The Jamie Foxx Show. Which
yeah,
was
but
good,
gotta,
but it was like,
take,
you know
gotta,
what I mean? It's like he went from that, and all of a sudden he's like, oh my God.
It's like,
yeah, but
you
it,
know?
It,
he's like
well,
the black
Ray,
Tom
Ray
Hanks.
Ray was the big
But
break.
You can
yeah,
only,
yeah,
he's the black Tom Hanks.
You can only be as good an actor as the material, I mean, like, you give somebody a show on, you know.
Oh, no, no, I know what you mean.
Right.
But,
I mean, but if you see movies, I mean, long before Ray, if you see movies like Bait, has anybody seen Bait?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good.
Wasn't one of the Baldwins in that?
No.
I'm thinking of Bulletproof or
there's
something.
There's the big, tall, I don't know his name. There's a lot of great character actors in that movie.
Any Given Sunday. He was good in that.
Awesome movie,
yeah,
man.
Awesome
that
movie.
Is a great
yeah, a
movie.
Movie.
Don't waste my motherfucking time!
But even though, but, you know, it's like it's funny because, like that kind of movie, I could see someone like Oliver Stone going, I need a character who's very, you know, gregarious and outgoing and, you know, cocky. And it's like, okay, you could see Jamie Foxx doing that. But then it's like, you know, like Ray is like,
no, you know what
you
I
know, you know what I mean? It's like, how do you even sort of
we
think of him as for that role?
I talked
and he
about
was amazing.
This with a friend of mine today, the same exact thing that you're talking about. We brought up Steve Zahn. I don't know if anybody knows.
Yeah, sure.
Steve,
yeah.
Zahn
love Steve Zahn
is a hilarious actor. But if anybody's seen him in certain movies, there's a new movie he's coming out, him and Christian Bale. I forget what the name of it is. But it's a serious movie and a drama. And he said, my friend said, well, I'm kind of worried about it because I wonder why he'd do a movie like that. And I said, if you've seen like Riding in Car with Boys, where he, you know, he played kind of a junkie, like accidental father, and I mean, it was a great moments in that movie. And
yeah,
I,
that was
if
a good
you
movie.
Look at
those
at,
little,
if you look at the, like the actors, like especially like right now, if you look at the actors that are revered in Hollywood, that the Tom Hanks. They're, the comedians have the widest range because they've
the good comics.
Because they've
which
learned,
are few and far between.
They've learned how to.
Well, Jim Carrey has expanded his.
And I know people.
Very well.
We talked about earlier with Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
It's like when you've learned how to take like all this like over the top energy and kind of be able to control it in one little place.
It's easier to.
That's skill. Yeah, that's not, you know, that's really skill of taking that.
Well, and comedy is extremely hard to do well.
Yes.
I mean, so you're already, you know, ahead of the game at that point. It's just, it, like I said, it just, I think a lot of people were surprised by his.
Sure.
You know, all of a sudden he's become a very serious, you know, actor, someone that's very, you know, well regarded.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just funny when you look at, like I said, where he came from.
Right.
And like what he was doing. It's like you never, I don't think you would have imagined him to someday be an Academy Award winning
right.
actor.
Right.
Robin Williams the same thing, though. You look
oh,
at
yeah.
Tom Hanks, like,
yeah.
you look bosom at Tom, buddies.
Right. Yeah. Tom Hanks's career was longer.
Yeah.
The
oh,
silly,
yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I mean, you
absolutely.
Talk about, like, Money Pits.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
The Burbs, which is
oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I love The Burbs.
Well, Chris just brought up Robin Williams, and I think he's
yeah,
his
that's
awesome.
A good example, yeah.
But hit or miss. And I think he misses more when he goes to comedies
now. Yeah, but I think
now.
It's, I think
oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
material more so in his
it's,
regard
it's
than his
what, yeah.
ability.
But you know what, though? Robin Williams' comedy, his approach to comedy to me is just slightly dated.
Yeah, it is.
It's of his time. Like I think comics like Billy Crystal, Robin Williams, the people
those
like,
80s
those guys they had a comedy that was kind of that time.
Bill Murray, which is another guy that his dramatic roles
right,
I really like.
Right. So now when I see Billy Crystal or Robin Williams trying to still do that. The jokey joke punchline, jokey joke
like man
punchline.
Man of the people that you, just
right. It's not that right, funny anymore. You know. It's like when you do see the Good Will Huntings or
yeah.
the movies like the stretches like that is when you're really like oh,
insomnia.
Man.
You know.
Yeah. yeah. Awesome in that.
Oh,
yeah.
1 hour
photo.
One hour photo.
I didn't enjoy that one as much.
But it was dark. Talk about dark.
Yeah,
man, that was dark.
I mean, I actually wanted it to be a little darker and a
yeah.
little like I because when I first saw the trailers for that, I was like, God, that's a freaky shit.
Yeah.
But
he's done a lot of. I think sometimes they do,
psycho.
Like they go, you know, like Adam Sandler mm-hmm. and Jim Carrey. I think sometimes those guys are so wanting to break out of that mold of the funny guy
right.
that they go to the other end of the spectrum with stuff.
Well, I
you
think
know,
Adam's
sometimes.
Only done it in that one movie.
Well.
With Punch Drunk Love. I mean,
no,
that
he
was,
did Spanglish, too.
But that is a straight-up movie. That's not
yeah.
a weird... That,
no, that's
that,
not like a weird
no,
experimental...
That, yeah, that's
like
not,
Punch Drunk Love's
it was,
a bizarre...
But it was,
or,
it was
know,
breaking the, you know, the comedy mold.
But like, you see Jim Carrey
kind of
do 23
so
now, where
yeah.
he's playing a psych... You know, I mean, it's like...
Well, I watched that, and that's just a bad movie.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
sometimes it's just
that's
a bad
I mean,
movie.
He plays a normal... I mean, it's a normal movie. It's not like a...
But then you see, like, Will Ferrell doing... And it was kind of funny, but it was just bad.
Yeah, well,
the Stranger Than Fiction.
Fiction. Boring.
It was just boring.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't, you know.
You know what people need to watch? It either came out this week or it comes out next week. I think it came out this week. Is Rain Over Me.
I don't, who's that? Who's in it?
Adam Sandler. And,
oh, is it?
And Don Cheadle.
Oh, I love Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Cheadle's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Is it Rain On Me or Rain Over Me? Rain
On
Me. Rain On Me.
You're talking
Rain
about,
on me.
About big box sets and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In the Will Pfeiffer segment earlier in the week,
is
he
it Pfeiffer or Pfeiffer?
It is Pfeiffer.
It's Pfeiffer.
Oh, is it?
Yes. And I had to ask him.
well, you've always said Pfeiffer, and then when you said Pfeiffer, I was like,
wait
drunk?
A minute.
it's because Tom said, I think it's Pfeiffer. So
right.
so I asked him, and it is Pfeiffer.
Now we know.
He mentioned that the mega deluxe Star Trek The Next Generation box is coming out. It's like $500.
Jeez. Well, it's 10 years, right?
20.
They did
well,
20
no,
years?
No, it's the 20th
anniversary.
20th anniversary.
No, but how many seasons
week?
Of...
It's
seven.
It's seven
seasons.
Seasons.
Yeah.
That's a shitload of DVDs.
That's a
holy
lot of Star Trek.
Why is it $500?
Because it's seven seasons. It's all
doesn't
one...
It doesn't matter. Seven seasons of the West Wing cost you like $250.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
well,
because
I think
it's
I
Star
think
Trek.
The
Blu-ray or...
Well,
DVD
I think they originally retailed for close to like $100 a
yeah, those
season.
Yeah, those seasons were really expensive. I don't know why.
Because they know they got the Trekkie
Trek.
Collectible.
Yeah. Well, I think you can, I think you can get it for like $350 on Amazon.
I couldn't imagine trying to watch all that. I love Star Trek.
And actually, I think it comes with a...
It's on every
night
on TV.
Well, that's the thing. It's on constantly.
That's why I'm not going to buy Seinfeld. As much as I love Seinfeld,
it's on constantly.
I watch it every night at 11 o'clock on Channel 2.
Seinfeld will be syndicated forever.
It will. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's the I Love Lucy of our generation. I mean, it's going to be on TV.
I love Lucy.
You know?
It's them. They're moving around again. You know, it was a night just like this that it happened.
What happened, Mr. Weingartner?
Oh, it was a long time ago, Ricky. Hinkley Hills was a lot smaller then. Safer, too. You never had to lock your doors. Everybody knew everybody. I must have been maybe, 9, 10 years old. You know where the big mall is?
Yeah.
Well, there used to be a big drugstore down on the corner there. It had a big soda fountain in it. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the guy who ran it was a rotund guy. Had glasses. His name was Skip. Lived over in Elm. Had a wife, a couple kids. You know, not too sharp. I mean, hey, the guy's 40 years old. He's wearing a paper hat, and he's making cherry Cokes. It's a cinch he's not running for governor, right? Anyway, it got hot that summer. I remember it got real hot. It was sweltering. You know that heat where your underwear sweats and it crawls up the... Anyway, it's hot, okay? And they start smelling this really vile stench over on Elm, and they figure it's coming from Skip's place. And no one wants to say anything. I mean, what do? Go knock on the guy's door. Hi, your house stinks. So people are trying to ignore it, right? They're trying to pretend that it isn't happening. And you know those pine things? They're trying to cover up with those pine things that you put in cars. People are hanging those in their porches. Oh, you think that's funny, Ricky?
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah? Let me tell you what happened next, okay? The state health inspector shows up. They go over. They talk to Skip. He says he's got a sump pump problem. They leave. Hey, the guy's got a little sewer problem. He says he'll look after it. Everything's okay, right? Mm. Wrong. A couple hours later, there's smoke pouring out of the windows of Skip's house. The firemen show up. They go into Skip's house. You know what they find?
What?
Skip's family. Dead. Murdered. By Skip. Weeks earlier. With an ice pick. Yeah. The guy killed his whole family. With an ice pick. Yeah. Yeah, I just put him in the cool basement, covered him up with a sheet, and went back to making ice cream treats for the townsfolk. Only thing, Skip didn't count on there being a big heat wave that summer. You know what that was that all those people were smelling over on Elm, Ricky?
What?
Skip's family's bodies decomposing in the summer heat. Yeah, apparently one day Skip just made one too many lemon phosphates. El Snapo.
I remember that. I remember hearing about that when I was a kid. They tore down the soda fountain that fall.
You know, these towns are full of those kind of stories. Sometimes they're happening right under your nose.
You know, speaking of noses, ever since this family has moved to this block, I've been noticing a weird kind of odor. Kind of like death.
Oh! Oh, definitely liars, but oh, shit!
I'm sorry, Mr. Peterson. It was a mistake. I didn't mean to. What was
it? Don't apologize.
Mistake.
I'm going home. Oh, come on. Don't be a weenie.
I'm sorry, Mr. Peterson.
It was a
Peterson.
Joke.
It was a joke.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.
All right, it's time for Top of the Stack.
No, Top of the Stack is dead. We already talked comics.
Future Stacks?
No, Future Stacks. Sorry. Ain't got it.
Listener emails.
Got nothing for you,
man. I do have listener emails. We could do a listener
emails. You know, I think we, and on that note, I think we are still going to do the occasional listener emails.
Yes.
But they're going to have to be special.
Well, and let's put a little thing out there. I think you said it on the form. Try to include a question.
Yeah.
Make it sure that it's a question. And
we get a lot of emails of people just saying, hey, I want to, I just want to tell you guys, we love the show. I've been listening for a while now. I just want to say hi. And those are great. We love hearing from people saying that.
Absolutely.
But it's not something we're, I mean, we feel kind of weird reading all those on the show because it's like we're just kissing our own asses kind of thing.
And I would say that if you have, like, if you've heard something on the show and you have comments about it or
a question or
I mean, well, a question, email that to us and possibly we can answer it on the show. But if you just have your opinion that you'd like to state of something that you've heard on the show, jump over to the message board.
Yeah, go to the forum.
Because we're starting to notice like a huge stack of emails that are literally
paragraphs,
a page and a half long
of opinions.
Of somebody's, their own thoughts. And then we're
it would be a great thread starter.
Yeah.
And there's tons more people on there to interact with.
Right.
Than us trying to do it in a short little 2 minute.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, you don't want us to sit here and just read shit. That is not fun.
We don't want to do that either.
It's not fun for you.
Yeah. And I will mention, I was talking about the forum, and I'll give Sal a pat on the back. The old Around Comics website has been totally replaced with a new streamlined, and I got to say,
sexy,
way faster.
Oh yeah.
Site. And the forum was, the old forum was really kind of
sucky.
And it's a brand new forum. Things load fast. It's easy to navigate.
Well, it's a forum that's much more like what people
A forum.
Yeah, what it was before was I was using a forum that integrated with the site software really well, and so I sacrificed things because it worked really well with the site.
Right, like
this forum,
you sacrifice sweetness.
I sacrificed the sweetness.
Yes.
But this forum is on a standalone thing that's all it does. Right. It's just a forum, and it's 10 times faster.
Go check it out and post your thoughts there. And,
yes.
And if you do have questions or anything that you want us to talk about or discuss on the show, feel free to email us. You can do that at info@aroundcomics.com, and we may or may not talk about it on the show, but if you post it on the forum, I'll guarantee you that people will respond to it.
Yes.
We want to thank our sponsor, InStockTrades.com.
Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essential showcase editions, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. Whether you're buying an absolute edition or catching up with showcases and essentials, InStockTrades.com is your new best friend.
If you'd like to use your computer to show your puppy love for Chris, you can by going to iTunes and leaving an iTunes review.
Oh, that was sweet, Scott.
I know. People have puppy love for you. But watch out, because Rucka will fucking snuff you out.
Send his minions. You can still be a friend of the program. We have the Around Comics flyer. I'm going to try and get a new one designed. So if you want to put that, go to the site, print it out, have your local comic shop owner or manager put that up in their store. We'd appreciate it. Just let us know if they do, and we'll mention you and the store on the show.
I also want to say that we are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809 and ask for Tom.
We have some twisted drinking game going on with essentials or something.
Essentials?
Every time you say essentials.
Well, there is so many. We say essentials so many times in our bumpers on this show. It is all over the place.
It's, I don't know. I think Chris just likes to hear me go,
essentials.
Well, you know where you pick up essentials at?
Essentials?
The grocery store.
At the grocery store.
At the grocery store.
Grocery store.
I love comics.
Mr. Marshall, real quick, anything cool and fun coming up on the old collected comics
Nothing,
library?
Nothing, man. I'm just shooting from the hip. But I just want to say thank you for all you guys to invite me along to be a part of your extended family.
Oh, yeah.
On the episode. So I'm really happy to be a part of it and be a contributor each and every week. So I just want to, you know, thank you, and however I can repay you, you know. And I love being here. This is
I like
cool
hand jobs, brother.
Small, really cool. Unmarked bills.
Yeah.
Don't offer too much.
I'm a nasty motherfucker.
You may want to limit it a little bit. We get crazy. But.
Honey, I don't know what happened. I'm sticky and broke. All right, well, I'd like to thank Mr. Mark Beatty, as always, for hosting us here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. You can find them on the web at darktowercomics.net. Yes, DarkTowerComics.net. For Chris Marshall, Scotty Young, Brian Salazar, and the on assignment Tom Caters, I'm Chris Niespen. Make sure to come back on Monday for our Around Comics, the Comic Culture podcast.
Can I mention one other thing before we go? Because this episode will be on Thursday. This Saturday is the 24-hour podcast, which we will all be a part of. It's going to be Saturday from 11 a.m. till Sunday. Well, we'll start at 10, but you won't be able to hear it until
11 Central Standard.
We're going
to
be starting at 10, but we're going to have an hour delay, so it'll start it'll be up at 11, starting at 11 a.m. on
every
Saturday.
Every hour thereafter.
And every hour thereafter.
And
hopefully
if you've ever wanted to hear an audio train wreck, now's your chance.
And I would say if you're going to listen to it, go to the site and either subscribe to the feed there or listen to it right there on the site, because the iTunes thing may be tricky or whatever. The site is
24hourcomicspodcast.com.
And it's 2-4-hour.
2-4-hour comics podcast.com.
So check us
out
there. The number
4.
the number 2.
You just said it's the 2-4.
And I tell you, we'll definitely have a thread on the forum that will have a direct link to that site.
Absolutely.
And where you'll be able to get
the We will be a part of that for a big chunk of it.
Trivia,
we got some stuff. Yeah, some stuff planned.
Movie commentaries.
Who knows? Edward 40 Hands.
I'm going to rape somebody.
Scotty's going to rape someone just for the fuck of it.
Just because I'm wild. That's the nature of my groove.
There'll be strippers. Gilmore Girls Marathon.
Oh,
probably.
Jesus.
Found it?
Yeah.
No. Ooh.
Shut up. You love Lorelai.
I've never watched that.
Picked the wrong weekend to come down.
It's going to be fun. Oh, and if you're in the Chicago area or if you're from Chicago, it's going to be
like great.
Rape.
If you're cool with that kind of thing.
Yeah. Come on down.
Get oh, God. That reminds come on down to Dark Tower.
We'll have to talk about this next episode, but that reminds me of the... Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Do you watch that show?
No, but I watched My Name is Earl, and that's we'll talk about those two shows.
Yeah, we'll get to those.
So, yeah, we'll be here at Dark Tower, so if you want to come during hours of operation and see the silliness, you can. All right, everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again on Monday with the audio magazine format. So, and you'll get
magazine.
Chris.
Podazine.
The Podazine.
Podazine. Podzine.
Podzine. Ooh, the Podzine.
Yeah, don't say ooh like that was a good fucking word. Chris is all over here. Like, ooh, right, ooh, that's fancy.
That's brilliant.
This was hassy.
The Podzine.
In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in
and around comics. And rape.
Rape.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is going on? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.